Good evening and greetings of love in Jesus' name this evening. It's good to be here and worship with you this evening. Enjoyed the children's meeting. Very good for all of us. Devotions. The need of victory in our life. Appreciated that. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Wasn't exactly even sure which verse to use to start off with, but using this one, I was thinking about how important it is for us to put our, to believe, to hear the right thing, and to put it into everyday action. The title of the message is Hearing Ears and Living Doers of the Word. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says that, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And I see in this verse that we must believe in God, and it must make us, he says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, you know, we have to have faith. We have to we'll talk about a little bit more that faith cometh by hearing. But we have to hear and hear the right teaching, and we have to believe, and it makes a difference in our actions. It's also a teaching that is Jesus was very plain on, and in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read those verses a little later here, but Jesus talked about if you have ears to hear, let him hear. And if you look that up, he means that with the intent to obey. He didn't just want you to hear what he had to say and go on with life, but he wanted you to hear, wants us to hear and try to put it to practice in our life. Now, I'm not, you know, we could say that this is being a little unbalanced and that we're all about a works religion, and I'm not that way. I don't believe that it's just a works religion, but I do believe that when we sincerely live and repent of our sins and live for Jesus, it will result in righteousness in our life. And so that's what God has called us to. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 talks about confession with our mouth. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So in verse 10 there, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It doesn't stop with just believeth. It believeth unto righteousness. It's going to make a difference. Romans 2:13 says that for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. About 2 years ago, I had to overhaul an engine in a tractor. And this tractor had a hydraulic clutch, and I'm sorry, ladies, that you probably don't understand my illustration here, but I had to overhaul the engine, and this tractor has a hydraulic clutch. So there was, if you didn't have hydraulics, you couldn't run a PTO, you couldn't run the transmission at all. And so we overhauled this thing, and through the process, there was a little tiny piece that was missing when we put it back together, and it was in the flywheel, and that little tiny piece was the drive for the supply pump that supplied the hydraulic pump with oil, and we did not know it was missing, and put the tractor all back together after the engine was overhauled and made sure everything was right and started it up, and everything ran fine. It had good oil pressure. Sounded good. Everything was good. So I get on it, and there's nothing. No power steering. I couldn't push the clutch. There was nothing there. And so started calling around trying to figure out what this is. And, you know, we could have done several things. We could have gave it a paint job. And, they'd have made it look better. We could have put LED lights on it. Could have turned more fuel to it. There's just a lot of things that we could have done, but none of it would make a difference. And so it was, we had to pull it back apart, and we had to put that tiny little piece in there, and that made all the difference. And I think about that in relation to this sermon, that you can have all the horsepower that you want in your Christian life, and you can have all the, you can hear a lot of good teaching, but unless there's faith that puts it to the ground, it does us no good. And I believe that's something that I struggle with being, you know, we were raised in Christian homes, which is a tremendous blessing, but do we really know how to put it into everyday life, or is it just the way we've always done it? And it's so, I'm not downplaying that we've been raised in Christian homes. It's a beautiful thing, but we need to make sure we understand it and it lives it. We live it out in everyday life. So thinking about ears, hearing ears, and living doers of the word. So it is important that we are able to take in God's word. And I just have a number of things that God gave us ears for, important things that God gave us ears for, and then the last part of the message, the imperative of living the word. And so number one, God gave us ears to hear instruction and exhortation. It is important that we hear that. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And so God gave us ears for that blessing, that we can seek out and hear instruction. Chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto them that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. But let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So it takes the attendance of our ears. It says to attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. And again, a lot of times in Scripture, this is given to the, when we talk about hearing, it's with the hearing to take it in and to try to understand it, to put it into everyday life. Number two, God gave us ears to hear warnings. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So we need to hear warnings. It is actually a act of God's mercy that he gives us warnings, because if they're, you know, if you're thinking about driving down the road and there's a sharp corner, well, it's an act of mercy that they put it there for us so that we don't run off the road. And that's what God is doing, is giving us warnings so that we do not fall into the dangers that are around us. Proverbs 15, verse 31 says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." So it's important that we hear the reproof, the warnings of life. It says that it you abide among the wise. "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Okay, number three is to hear encouragement. Psalm 66, verse 16 says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear the Lord, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." That would have Brother Claus's children's meeting there. To hear right words, to hear words of encouragement. They're beautiful words. It's really good for us to hear encouragement, what the Lord has done for others. And you know, God loves to hear this, I believe. In Malachi 3, verse 16, it gives the thought there that he loves to hear that. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. God loves to hear what we are doing and the encouragement that we speak to one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, for not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So we need to encourage each other. Number four, God gave us ears to hear the joys and sorrows of others, somewhat along the same line as encouragement. But the joys and sorrows of others, what others are going through. I didn't write this reference down, but somewhere in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes actually says that it's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to go to the house of feasting. And it does something for us to hear the deep heartbeat of our friends and our family and our brethren in the church, whether it's joys or whether it's sorrows. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians 1 verse 3 said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Have you ever noticed the connection that people have when they lose a loved one or go through a certain trial in life? It's usually those that have recently lost a loved one, they go to the funeral of someone else, and you can see them connect because there's a special bond there and a special measure of comfort that they can give to those people because they have experienced it themselves. So it's good for us to hear the joys and sorrows of others. Verse 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." So I'm not sure exactly what consolation means, but I take that to be somewhat comfort, that when then it's sorrow connects and can comfort sorrow, and consolation, we rejoice with that as well. So it works both ways. Okay, number 5, God had given us ears to hear God's word. Should have put that one first. To hear God's word, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. I think we probably all know that one almost by heart, but I'll read it. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 6. "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, that is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And he has quite a bit to say to them about that. And then in verse 13, he says, "Making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do." And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And so it was important that they heard Jesus' teaching. And you know, he talks about traditions here, and the teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. And our teaching Yeah, we do teach, we should be teaching the Bible, and we know that the Bible, as we put it to practice, does establish traditions, and it should be that way. It should be always that the Bible establishes a pattern of living, and not that we preach the tradition, but we preach the biblical and how it is lived out, which is a tradition. Even in the Old Testament, it was very important for them to understand what the law said. They were to do that. They were to hear the law, hear it taught, and to read it for themselves. It was commanded of the kings that they would make their own copy, and that was the reason was is that they would understand it. And so God gave us ears to hear the word of God. And number six, it is to have faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We cannot have faith without that. It has to come, be some way where that it comes into our heart. We think about examples of those that did not, or they were spiritual deafness. They could not hear because of their spiritual condition. Think of the example of Saul in the Old Testament, and we just read about these people in Jesus' day that their heart, their ears were full of other things, and they could not hear what the Word of God had to say in their life. So God has given us ears for a purpose, and let's use them that way. Now the second part is more about the imperative of living the Word of God. Why is it important that we live the Word of God? Number one, it gives us entrance into the kingdom of God. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It was not based on their lip service. It was based on their actions as they understood. Read verses 22 to 23 there. Matthew 7. I read verse 21, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So we must be willing to obey and to fulfill the will of the Father. And yes, it is important that we make confession with our mouth, that we believe it in our heart. I don't believe that we can just mechanically do what is right. That's not obeying God. Obeying God is the heart and the actions lining up. We can't do one without the other. Verse I read earlier, Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Okay, and now number two, to stand the test and storms of life, right here in Matthew. And he likens this story to those that do or those that don't do. In Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So we see that those that do the will of God have a foundation that stands the test of time. It stands the storms and the tests that come. And it says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so we have to have that foundation in our life of standing. Our foundation needs to be that we hear the word of God, we believe it, and we put it to practice. We build on the solid platform of God's word, the solid foundation of God's word, and it is built. It stands. Number three, living the word of God, it's for continued direction and correction. John 3, verse 20 and 21, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, we don't understand everything when we start the journey in our Christian life, and we still don't understand it a long time later, but we continue. and we continue to build and continue to get correction and direction. And it's important that we walk in the light of God's word, to know all, to do all that we know is right. But there will be things that we need to correct as we go along. And that is part of living God's word. We don't get to a certain point where now I'm living all of God's word, but we continue. We, each one of us need to continue to grow. 1 John 3, verse 7. Sorry, chapter 1, verse 7, 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So walking in the light and living in the light of God's word, there is direction and correction that it comes with that. Okay, living the word of God, the imperative of living the word of God, it's so that it, number 4, it fortifies us from deception. Let's look at James chapter 1. James 1, verses 22 to 24. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So he says that we're not to be doers of the word. We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And he says that it deceiving, like if we're a hearer of the word only, it's deceiving our own selves. And he gives the example of looking into a mirror. And you look in the mirror, and well, you don't really believe what the mirror says. You know, mirrors don't lie, but we tend to get that way, especially the older and uglier we get, I guess. But, you know, they just, the mirror tells the truth. But we can get into the thing with God's word, the mirror of God's word, that we don't really believe it applies to us. But he says to be a doer. And there's a deception that comes with just only hearing and not changing what you see. I think we actually are faced with that fairly much in our day with all the podcasts, the YouTube preachers. There's just a host of teaching out there. One thing we do not lack today is teaching, I don't believe. Maybe we do lack teaching, but there's the right kind of teaching maybe we lack. But there's just a host. The internet is full of it. And there is something very deceptive about hearing someone preach and knowing that we're not living what the Bible is teaching. There's also something very deceptive about listening to someone preach that you don't know what they live, because it has no foundation with you. It has no strength with you. And it's really dangerous to listen to someone teach right things and know that he doesn't live right. It's very dangerous. Yeah, it's something I'm very concerned about. And yes, us local preachers, there's no way we can keep up with YouTube. We're not even going to try. But there's something about a local body of believers that comes together, and the God-ordained ones that are called of God to preach, to listen, and you know their lives, you know their weaknesses, and you see their humility in teaching. They're trying to do what is right, and it's a foundation that's something that really blesses as we do that. John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. If someone is giving you teaching that has sin in their life, he is not from God. This verse is very clear. He is not. It says that he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. We do not live in sin if we're born of God, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. These verses are very clear, that, and you can't know that by simply reading a book or hearing a podcast. You don't know the man that wrote or whoever it is. You don't know them on a personal level. You don't know, and you hear them preach about one subject, they may be correct, but you don't know whether what they believe, say about divorce and remarriage, or about the moral integrity of how we should live. And so it's very important that we listen, and that we listen to the Word of God by those that we can see the example and how they live it out. So let's beware of the deception that can come because of that. Okay, number five, the imperative of living the Word is to be blessed by God. There's no other way to receive His blessing. We have to live it, we have to hear it, believe it, and live it to be blessed by God. This verse in James 1, verse 25, I read the earlier verses about the deception that comes through hearing and not doing. In verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the one that looks into the mirror and continues therein, makes the correction, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's the life that will stand the storms and tests of life. It'll be a blessed life. And then the last one is eternal life. Imperative, it is very important that we live the Word of God so that we can live eternally. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. I'm in the wrong book here. 1 John. First John 2, 17. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so if we want our life to be pleasing to God here, and to enter into life eternal, we must be someone that does the will of God. Also, in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation 20, chapter 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So we see the blessing there, how we enter into the city of God, into heaven, is those that do his commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Also think about, in closing, let's look at Matthew chapter 25. The difference between the ones that were on the right hand and the ones on the left. Matthew 25, verse 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. Notice that it took action. These people were people of action. They saw someone hungry, they gave him meat. They saw someone thirsty, they gave him drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Then shall the king answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So it made a difference in these people's lives, how they lived. And then shall he say unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we and hungered or thirsted, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So the way we believe is important, and the way we live is important. And let's put it to practice. Put the word of God into, well, as the saying is, put the word of God into shoe leather. It makes a difference. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for your love and your goodness to us. Thank you that you have given us your word and it shows us the pathway of life. Pray that you would help us as we live our lives, that we would drink in the right teaching, drink in your word and the preaching of your word, whatever, how the word comes to us. Help us, Lord, to know how to put that, to make that engage in our life and to put it into everyday actions and things that would bless others and would show others of your love and the saving power in our own life. Pray you would help us to live our lives and fill the needs of those around us, be a blessing, and to point men to you. And help us, Lord, in this dark and evil world to be faithful and to encourage each other, to build each other up. Just help us, Lord, as we go from day to day. Give us safety through the night. Bless us this week as we serve you, that we would be faithful to you until you come again. We pray in Jesus' name.